318.95 Japanese yen. On Wall Street at lunchtime, the Dow Jones average was down 3 points at 1,298. And the Financial Times Index again down 7.4 at 999.1. Before our next program, let me just mention that if you're listening in Africa on 15.40 megahertz, you should retune now to 15.07, 9.715, 9.41, or 7.325 megahertz. 6.005 megahertz will be available earlier than usual in about 5 minutes' time. BBC World Service. Well, if you've been listening to us over the last few minutes, you will know the tragic happenings in Brussels have taken place, and just before the European Cup final. We were due to broadcast coverage of the match, but now, on what's happened in Brussels, here's Martin Fuchs in our sports studio.
Well, as you've just heard, anything that may happen on the football field tonight, and we understand that, incredibly, the European Cup final is to go on, that has been rendered wholly without consequence in the light of the worst scenes of crowd violence that have ever been witnessed at any sporting event, certainly in Europe and quite possibly the world. We understand that at least 35 people have been killed, that's the latest estimate, many as a result of a wall collapsing after Liverpool supporters broke out of their compound, their section of the ground, and charged at Juventus supporters in another part of the ground. At kick-off time, the pitch at the Heysel Stadium was still strewn with injured supporters and riot police attempting to quell the disturbance. Perhaps the most graphic account of what's been happening tonight came in this report from Mike Ingham.
The saddest sight has got to be outside the stadium at the moment. I hope I never, ever see the scenes that I just witnessed over the last 10, 15 minutes, as long as I live again. I've seen at least 24 bodies carried on stretchers into a temporary bivouac which has been erected, all around pale faces and hysterical shouting going on, people just screaming wire, 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 and the bodies that I have seen have been draped forlornly in Italian scarves, Italian flags, Juventus scarves. They came to enjoy themselves tonight. They've had all the life crushed out of them by what apparently was a wall that gave way when the Liverpool fans made that onslaught away to our left. And undoubtedly the supporters who were on the other side of that wall just caught the full brunt of it, like a wave, great crescendo through them. There are helicopters landing at the moment as well, trying to whisk people off to the Brussels city centre as quickly as possible. How on earth can we have a game of football? I know now there is a problem that they have still 45,000-50,000 people in the stadium, but how on earth can anybody in this stadium now get enthusiastic about 90 minutes of kicking the ball around?
Well, there had been trouble in the Brussels city centre much earlier in the day. There were reports that a jeweller's shop window had been smashed by Liverpool fans and gems worth about £150,000 stolen. But the real trouble began about an hour before the match, and it continued well past kick-off time. This was how Peter Jones described the scenes to listeners in this country about half an hour ago.
There are now a lot more police are coming down those steps away to our left. There must now be, I would have thought, something like 100 policemen who are standing on the athletics track in front of that huge, huge semicircle of Liverpool supporters. But down below us, there don't seem to be too many on this near side, on the grandstand side. Of course, there is steel fencing there, as there is all around this ground. But we saw when the riot started just how easily that fence can be smashed to the ground. Away to our right, where the Juventus supporters are, there aren't more than, I would think, 15 or 16 riot police. And again, we've seen how easily fans can jump over those fences, as again, another stretcher is carried away, sadly, to our right. It's almost as if we'd seen some awful fire in itself here, Emlyn, and now people are standing round waiting for the wounded to be carried away.
People are really in a state of shock. You know, they just stood there and then saying to the mate, you know, what's going to happen? Where do we go from here? Do we stand? Do we move round? Do we wait until we get an announcement that the game's going to kick off? I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I honestly don't know.
And for any new listeners joining us, expecting to hear the European Cup final here in the Heysel Stadium in Brussels, let me tell you that just after 8:45 here, we have no match at all. We have had a riot We have had an unconfirmed report that more than 30 people have been killed in that riot when Liverpool supporters attacked Juventus supporters away to our left. I would think by now it must be several hundred people taken to hospital. 40 minutes ago we reported more than 100, and we've certainly seen large numbers being carried away on stretchers below us. So if you've tuned in the last 5 minutes, wherever you may be, expecting to hear a football final that we expected to remember, we are going to remember tonight the massacre at the Heysel Stadium in Brussels, with death and injury and violence. And the scene now is, as we keep repeating, one of a battlefield, with mounted police and security guards, and away to our left, a whole phalanx now of police. They look rather sinister, but they nevertheless look reassuring, standing at the foot of that huge bank of Liverpool supporters. It all began an hour before the kick-off time, when lots of Liverpool supporters, I think certainly we found when we were coming in here, the worse for drink. And it's been a hot day here, which doesn't help the situation. And it simply was a mass attack on the Juventus supporters in the left-hand corner, who fled in terror down onto the athletics track. And that's where the trouble was caused, because a wall collapsed in their anxiety and their terror to get through the small exit. And when that wall collapsed, that's really when the fatality is concerned. And we are told a minimum of 30 dead and others seriously injured. Mike Ingham, my colleague, came up a few minutes ago and said the scenes outside the stadium are absolutely horrific.
There looks to be a little bit of action down by the dressing room there. There looks as though there is I can see a black and white shirt there. I can see a few of the Juventus players just down by the entrance there. So there might well be something happening, and at least let's get something happening. Don't let's just sit in a state of limbo doing nothing. Let's either get the game started or let's get the fans out. We've got to do something.
Let me put this to you, Emlyn. As a player yourself, while we, I'm sure you're right, I'm sure Joe Fagan hasn't underlined the total seriousness of the situation yet. He's obviously told the players that there's an awful mayhem going up there. He's probably kept the deaths to himself, I would think. But as a player, if you were to walk out of that tunnel in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, whatever it's going to be, would you not immediately feel something in the air?
Yes, you're bound to. You're bound to. I mean, the players will know as soon as they walk out. The players will know that there has been something major that's gone on. Just by the simple fact of all the people outside and around the track, you know, the running track. I mean, they will know that things have gone on. That hopefully they won't know of the deaths and the destruction that's happened. But they will. They will certainly say and that there are things that have gone on here in this stadium tonight. And as we've just heard now, there is a police unconfirmed report that the death toll is 35. I mean, we're sat here, Peter, and it's gone up from 2 or 3 to 12 to 15 to 20, then up to 30, and now we've heard 35. I don't know where it's going to end, Peter.
Yes, it's now, as you heard, unconfirmed police report that 35 people have died. And certainly from where we're sitting here, the number of stretcher cases that were carried out looked very serious indeed. And I've no doubt that that's really what's happened. And still, you see, a lot of supporters away to our right, which are many of the Juventus supporters, I'm quite certain have no idea of the seriousness of the situation here. They are some 120, 150 yards away. And they've stood there, and I must say, most of the time have been patient, waiting for the game to start. They don't know that behind us, outside on the forecourt, as Mike Ingham was reporting a short time ago, there are bodies being laid out, and there's a temporary mortuary being organised for people who've died at a football match. I'm sure they don't know this away to their right, and one just hopes that the frustration won't spill over, and it'll become even more of a violent scene, if that were possible. Again, to repeat that there must be now something like 200 serious injuries being taken off by fleets of helicopters to hospitals in and around Brussels, and the unconfirmed police reports that 35 people have died. And while I see the problem, Emlyn, as we were saying earlier, it's obviously very difficult for the UEFA committee to say, right, we're going to abandon the game, because again, as you were rightly saying, what's going to happen then if you tell 56,000 people there's no match for them to watch? I still cannot imagine that we're going to watch 90 minutes of football.
No, I can't, Peter, I can't. I mean, it's got to be filtering around the ground now. You see little pockets of people sort of saying, oh, what's going on here? We've just heard that so-and-so has died. And then they're charging into other people, trying to take their revenge on. I don't know what we're going to do, Peter. As you say, I can't see there being 90 minutes of football here now. I can't see that happening. But if it doesn't happen, what are we going to do with 56,000 people? What's going to happen to them? How are they going to get home? How are they going to walk in safety through the streets of Brussels this evening? You know, not seeing a game. Awful.
Well, in the background, you'll hear the public address system still suggesting that the game will go on as soon as possible. And it may well be that it's the lesser of two evils, that to abandon the game now would cause even more serious consequences. And therefore, we must go through what now almost seems like a charade of a football match. So it really is, again, all the notes we have in front of us, and Kevin and I always on these occasions, we always look at the things that seem to matter on the occasion. Just thinking there, Emily, you know, we've written down here 1978 Bruges and Wembley, and 1981 Real Madrid in Paris, and 1984 Roma last year in Rome, and you almost feel like tearing the card up. It doesn't matter now.
Peter, no. I was fortunate enough to have played in and captained the 77 and 78 side, and I went over as a spectator, drove myself over to Paris to see them beat Real Madrid, and I came over with you last year, as you know, to Rome, and we did the Radio 2 thing. But they pale in significance. I mean, there's no interest in that, Peter. There's no interest in them for now. And when you look at the record that you've got written down there, you're talking about FA Cups, and you're talking about League Cups, you're talking about League Championships. I mean, what are we talking, what are we discussing when we've seen here tonight the death of over 30 people?
Well, that was Emlyn Hughes, the former captain of Liverpool. And that, I'm afraid, is the tragic and appalling news tonight from Brussels. The Reuters news agency report at least 35 fans killed, British and Italian, and more than 100 injured. The thousands of fans still in the Heysel Stadium are largely unaware of the tragic consequences of the violence, which incidentally is still going on in some parts of the ground. In all the circumstances, that we think it completely inappropriate to bring you coverage of the European Cup final.
Thank you, Martin Fuchs. You're tuned to London in the World Service of the BBC. Let me remind you that our next news broadcast will be at 20 hours Greenwich Mean Time. That's in just 33 minutes from now. And due to the tragic events in Brussels and the cancellation of our coverage of the European Cup final, if it takes place, we'll be reinstating a programme at 19:30, top 20, which was normally broadcast at 18:30 today. But between now and then, which is just over 2 minutes, we bring you some piano music by Beethoven. Alfred Brendel playing one of Beethoven's variations on a waltz by Diabelli.